Civilization, where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.
Just an update from me with regards to the ongoing story of MH370, the missing Boeing Malaysian Airlines aircraft. So it's been something around the region of 37 days now, I think, since this story originally broke. And a few weeks ago, I uploaded an episode just going through some of the theories and some of the initial stories that broke during those first few days. And I said at the time that I would monitor the situation and perhaps do a follow-up episode, which is what I'm now doing. I was tempted to do this earlier, do one last week, but things were kind of happening at such a pace where I just wanted to kind of chill out, chill back, and just watch it unfold even further, because it just seemed like it needed to play out a bit more before I could come through with another follow-up. So it's been absolutely baffling. And it's still as much a mystery today as it was 3-4 weeks ago. Nothing has really changed. I guess the main update is that they're now saying that they have pretty much, with absolute certainty, apparently, pinpointed it down to a certain area west of Australia, west of Perth, out in the ocean. And it where they believe it has crashed into the ocean, gone deep underwater, and they are receiving signals from a black box. Now, that was a few days ago that story originally broke, and at the time, everybody seemed to think, right, mystery solved, and it was almost as if the media had accepted the story and kind of felt like it was now just the case of all the boats and submarines, etc., that have gone out there. It would only be a few days, perhaps even hours, until they found it. And then we would start seeing the pictures of the debris, and we would start to get a feel for what had actually happened. Well, that hasn't panned out at all in that way. Instead, we've had a few days where it's the same old line they've used. Yeah, we're almost there. We've almost found it, but absolutely nothing has actually surfaced yet. And they're still looking. And with every passing day, the likelihood is that the black box, the battery, has finally died. So I'm not entirely sure where we're at with that. It seems a bit strange that they still haven't found anything, even though they are certain that they have tracked the actual signal of the box. But it's been days now, so it is baffling. But beyond that, there are some interesting revelations that have only just come out today and yesterday. One of them is that apparently there's a report which I've read, and I don't know if the source is accurate or not. Sometimes it's very hard to tell, but it's just interesting and it's worth putting out there nonetheless. That they're now saying that a mobile phone call was made just after the plane vanished from radar, and the tower, Malaysian's air traffic control tower, picked up the facts, or maybe not the air traffic control, but maybe the mobile phone networks, I mean, picked up that a phone call had been made or attempted to be made on board the plane at that time. So that's interesting, and it kind of raises the question of if it did occur, then why didn't the pilot or the co-pilot make a phone call? If there was an emergency, that is, and all radio signals died and all electricity died, you would have thought that perhaps they could grab a mobile phone and make a phone call. But I guess maybe pilot etiquette, airline policy is that staff can't carry mobile phones. I don't know. It's just an interesting story that's developed, and it's just yet another turn in this tale. Now, another thing that's perhaps quite interesting, and again, there's no concrete evidence about this stuff. It's just sort of speculation and interesting reports and interesting theories. But with each passing day where no plane is actually found and no announcement is made that we've actually finally found where this plane went down, comes more and more speculation about the involvement of the, I don't know what you want to call them, the, as Eisenhower would say, the military industrial complex. And for whatever reason, they did something with regards to this aircraft, took over it. Now, there's an article that essentially, to sum it up, it says that the CIA, in concert with various other agencies, perhaps, and perhaps even Boeing, commandeered Flight 370 en route digitally via some remote control software, which exists. And without the full knowledge of pilots or crew, diverted the aircraft to Diego Garcia, and there was a military base based at Diego Garcia. I think it's an RAF-owned base, and it's very much entwined with the US Air Force as well. It's a sort of US-UK base. And the aircraft possibly ended up in Diego Garcia, and that's why they're not prepared to talk about it. And it may also explain why there was this now infamous and mysterious turn just northeast of Malaysia, which during the first few days of this unfolding story was the big news at the time. China had tracked this strange radar anomaly where it had done this bizarre turn and flown back across Malaysia out into the ocean. So that's a very strange story. But really nobody knows why it would be in Diego Garcia. It is just a theory. And it doesn't really explain what happened to the pilots or the crew or the passengers. Hundreds of people on board the plane still completely unaccounted for. And if this theory does hold any weight and they did land the aircraft at Diego Garcia, then what's happened to all of these people? And it's just a very kind of interesting take on the story. But I'm not necessarily saying I think that is what's happened. It's just bizarre, and it's just very interesting. And again, it is just interesting how this whole MH370 story is panning out at the same time as we're seeing the Ukraine crisis deepen and deepen and deepen. And now this is no longer it is still headline news, I guess, but the emphasis is no longer 24/7. And I think it's because perhaps the mainstream media perhaps are waiting for the next big thing to happen in Ukraine instead of all these smaller stories. But we all know what the mainstream media is like. It kind of likes to create a story that people react to and discuss. So they like to cover a story of that caliber. But what appears to be happening today in Ukraine is pretty intense. We've got reports of Russian forces, armed forces, seizing government buildings in eastern Ukraine saying they're going to react and counter-attack and retake the buildings. Russia saying that they may have to move in to protect Russian people in the territory. So it's all sounding as if Russia is setting it up now so they can move into eastern Ukraine, which could essentially ignite a war. So that's pretty serious stuff. Over the weekend, a Russian jet actually flew over a US warship, multiple passbys, and the US warship went to high alert status, and the commander on board describes it as a seriously provocative act. So again, just very interesting stuff going on, and it's brinkmanship, and it feels a little bit like brinkmanship. It feels a little bit like that they're sort of ramping this thing up to the point where perhaps they're looking for something to hit, some sort of reaction to finally spark some big event. Who knows? But Ukraine is not going away. But going back to MH370, though, like I say, it is interesting how these stories have been sort of running parallel with each other over the last few weeks. But I guess really these things do tend to just sometimes happen like that. I'm not really necessarily reading too deeply into that. But this is beginning to go down now, the MH370 story, as a real mystery, a completely unsolved, bizarre mystery. And it kind of got me looking at other mysteries that have never really been solved. And there's some fascinating ones out there. And I think really we may need to do a podcast episode about unsolved mysteries, because some of them are just insane. But it reminds me a little bit of the story that broke last February 2013. The story of Eliza Lam in America, where a 21-year-old female student, Eliza Lam, went missing. And 2 weeks after they went missing, after checking into a pretty infamous American hotel called the Cecil, they were found naked. They were dead, and they were found naked in a water tank on the roof of the hotel, in a completely sealed water tank, where there was, apparently, according to the fire brigade, who turned up on site 2 weeks in after she went missing to find her body, there was no easy way into it. There was no accessible door. They had to use something called the jaws of life to open up this tank to get the body out. So very interesting and terrifying and very, very troubling story. But also, it has to be said, very interesting. But what's bizarre about this is that a video surfaced about a day or so after that initial story from last year, and it's on YouTube now. You can just watch, you can just search for Eliza Lam elevator video, where she was in an elevator on her own hours before she, according to the autopsy, she would have died, where she's just acting in a very erratic, very strange way. And it's very eerie, it's very horrible, it's very creepy to watch this video, because it's almost as if she's possessed, it's almost as if there's some sort of programming that's been triggered inside her head and she's not entirely sure what the hell is going on. It's very, very bizarre video. And what makes it even more bizarre is when you kind of hear from the family and the friends and the interviews, she had no history of sort of weird mental illness and doing things like this. So this sort of thing, this just happened out of nowhere. She just kind of started to act in a very peculiar way, and then for whatever reason she ended up in a water tank, and the story is just a bizarre one, and it's a mystery, and the police have just said it was, I think the official police line is that it was death by misadventure or something along those lines. But I think there's a way, way bigger story with regards to the Eliza Lam mystery, and it is a mystery, and it warrants much more research, much more police work, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was some sort of occult involvement, right down to the symbolism of the name. And another odds, perhaps just an odd coincidence, but it's kind of strange, is that a couple of days after she went missing, or sorry, after the body had been discovered, an outbreak of TB occurred in the area. And apparently the official name of the medical kits used to treat people is called the Lam Eliza. And so it's just a strange coincidence. But anyway, I digress slightly. But the point I'm making here is that MH370 is becoming a mystery of that sort of calibre. It is just a very strange story. And the more you look into it, the more bizarre it gets. And like I say, I have to stress some of the weird radar anomalies and the stuff that I discussed in the last episode about this, which, thanks to a YouTube user called Dabu, I was able to sort of discover. And it's to do with just very strange radar stuff that was going on, really erratic maneuvers, just stuff that really is now going under the radar and they're not really talking about it. I have a feeling about MH370. I it's pure speculation, but I just suspect that perhaps 370. The disappearance of MH370 was all about the cargo on board, and it all goes back to this fact that there were many members of staff from the same electronics company on board the aircraft, specializing in something very technical, very specialist area of, I think it's semiconductor technology. And perhaps there was some element of knowledge on that plane that somebody wanted to get access to, or perhaps there was some prototype on board the flight, something that they just don't want to talk about on the flight. And it seems to be something that would need to be looked at further if there was an truly impartial investigation going on. And perhaps it is being looked at. But I think everyone seems to now be pretty much saying, without a doubt, the plane did sink west of Perth, and it's now just a case of finding the black box. But I think the clock is ticking now to the point where they may eventually just say, look, the battery's dead, we can't find it, the signal's gone, let's just accept that it sunk deep under the ocean and we can never retrieve it, case closed. Well, I don't know. I think there's more to it, personally. And the more people who kind of demand a bit more of an analysis of some of the strange flight manifests and all this kind of thing, radar anomalies, the better. Because I think we just need a proper explanation about what happens here. Whole thing just seems a bit fishy. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this one up. It was just a quick kind of update. And I just think it's just worth just stressing that the MH370 saga goes on, and it is still very much a mystery.
Where unknown forces strike the edge of ecology.